I'm Corinne Bailey-Ray, and you're listening to the Heart Speaks in Whispers podcast. In this series, I'm taking you on a journey through the themes and personal experiences that came together to form the songs on my record, The Heart Speaks in Whispers. Nature, the body, intuition, and the subconscious. The value of being present, and the focus of this episode, the healing power of music. We all have artists, songs, and albums that we turn to when we're facing trying times. For me, Nina Simone and her music is incredibly powerful. I love to look at the combination that she puts across of absolute vulnerability and weakness with this incredible power. There's a few women that I really admire. There's Nina Simone, the other one is Patti Smith. You feel like they're channeling something and something's coming through them. And for me to hear that music, it does something to me. It wakes me up. It makes me be conscious of my pain. It makes me be aware of my joy. It gives me a sort of boldness, which I don't think I find in any other way.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
I find music to be an incredible release. There's not a single emotion that you can't put into music. You know, you can put in fear, you can put in anger, you can put in even embarrassment or obviously happiness. So I find that very often for me, music will be a way of finding out how I'm actually feeling. There's plenty of songs on this record where the words just kind of popped out and I thought, oh, this has come from a really sort of subconscious place and here it is and now I can look at it and now I can see that feeling.
Walk on through the haze, darling. 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 Walk on through the haze,
darling. There's a song on the album called Walk On, and I just was sitting at the piano and I put my phone on because I felt like, you know, I want to just be able to kind of fly. I just found that that sort of poured out of me, that song. All the lyrics and all the melody just kind of came out. You know, I had to listen to my phone to learn the song in order to sort of find out what it was. The one thing I want to do is make music that's useful to people. People can listen to it and think, oh, I feel that, I've been through that, that it has value because other people can relate to it. There's a song called Caramel, and when I was playing it, just this first line came out, which was, it isn't love but pain that makes you brave.
It isn't love but pain that makes you brave.
I had never really thought about that as a kind of rational thing, but it was something that was coming through the music and helping me to understand my own emotions. So I find music writing to be useful because just the act of opening your mouth and being at an instrument means this stuff sort of comes through.
The secret why you walk will still remain devoted. Breaking like the road of lovers, aching in the dark. Wondering who could be the one to melt your heart.
Music has been an important source of healing and self-expression in my life, and I sat down with blues musician Ian Campbell to hear about the amazing impact music has had on his life.
I've been through a sort of a time when I wasn't at all happy. My family had broken up. My mother had left my father. There was an awful lot of fuss about it because she was fairly well known as an ex-actress, and one newspaper got hold of the story. And I didn't enjoy the whole thing in terms of the way it got around to local people in particular as well. So that made me very unhappy at the time when I was 14. I kind of channeled those feelings into wanting to play guitar, which I'd always wanted to do. So I eventually got hold of a guitar, and initially listening to Eric Clapton was what turned me on. Then I found out where he got all his influences from, and then I was completely hooked on it, you know. People like Muddy Waters, Otis Spann, the piano player, Lightning Hopkins, all these guys, Howlin' Wolf, you know, really old names. And I just loved the whole feel of it. And that's what I started listening an awful lot more of that with those kinds of artists, you know, from Chicago. And I wanted to play with that sound, so I bought a big amplifier, and I became quite good very quickly. There was a band playing at my school. Well, one of them was from my school, but the other people were quite a lot older than us. The guy who was playing lead guitar with them, they didn't like, so they asked me if I wanted the job, and so they sacked him and gave me the job. But it meant I was starting to play in pubs at that age. I was only 15. That, for me, was when I started off playing blues with other people and getting a real buzz from it and finding that it was a therapy then for me, yeah. Just like it has been for me now since this happened to me. You know.
I know that in 2009 you had a car accident.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Really sort of changed the course of your life, I'm sure, and your and your musical work. Yeah. What do you remember about the events around that?
I was on my way to a gig in London with the band I was playing with at the time, a band called the King Earl Boogie Band, who had two people from a band who were well-known in the 70s called Mungo Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
The drummer from Status Quo played with us, and quite a well-known blues singer and guitarist himself called Dave Peabody. So I was on my way to that gig. It was about evening time, early evening. I decided to take a country route up. That was a decision that cost me very dear because I was going through a country lane, making a turning, and then this kid was coming the other way, driving far too fast, lost control, and then smashed into me head on. And I have no memory of the actual event itself, but I was trapped in the car for quite a while. They cut me out, and I had lost a huge amount of blood. My leg was broken several times, but because of the huge loss of blood, I suffered a stroke and woke up in hospital and found out I was paralysed. My left arm was totally paralysed, which it's still, you know, he hasn't come back, it's paralysed. My left leg was paralysed at the time as well, so honestly, I thought I'm never going to walk again. But with physio, I got some use of my leg back, which is now why I can sort of walk now after a fashion. I was in hospital for, I think about 7 months, okay, and then had rehab. Physio's taught me how to walk again. You have to relearn how to walk, you know. Came out of hospital and then had this mad determination to teach myself to play guitar again. And I was advised to go and see this music therapy centre called Nordoff Robbins. I was very reluctant at first. I thought, what the hell can it do for me? Because I knew that it worked mainly with young children, so I didn't think it could do anything for an old git like me. So anyway, I was eventually persuaded to go along, and I went along and I met this woman, Lindsay McHale, who inspired me to try out all the ideas I'd had, like playing the slide and like, I could do this technique and that'll produce something. She was a great musician herself. I taught her about the blues and she helped me to play again.
You've talked before about Nordoff Robbins and your idea of music therapy, which is the same, I think, for a lot of people. It's that image of a young child who perhaps has been born with a disability.
That's right,
Who's maybe banging on
drum.
A drum.
That's it,
is a very beneficial thing for that young child. But as someone who's a professional musician, you must have thought, you know, how can they help me? Or, you know, in terms of the level of playing
I had no concept of this organisation being available for people who were professional musicians. Mm. So meeting Lindsay was a real kind of big surprise and big moment for me because I realised that she could help me to do what perhaps other people had not done. Mm. And she was a great piano player. I asked her to play a bit of Chopin and she really impressed me. So she's got me to try to play slide initially, and then she would back me on piano, and we'd just make some blues together.
You know? How did you feel when you first thought, you know, you were going to have to really relearn how you play the guitar?
Was
there ever a feeling that you just thought, well, this is it now, I won't be able to play music? Yeah. Or from the very start, were you determined that you would
come to music? No, I looked at the guitars I had, I didn't pick them up, I just looked at them, and I felt very, very depressed and thought, there's no way I'm going to ever be able to play any of those again. But then I started almost having dreams about playing and how it might be possible to get a sound out of a guitar again and to look at it in a different way. So when I went to Nordoff Robbins and met Lindsay, it was like a kind of galvanising sort of moment when she, because of her wonderful encouragement, I started really trying in earnest to get where I thought I could get to. And there were two songs that we did initially together, which were the great inspiration for me. One was one that she suggested, and it was Summertime, not the Mungo Jerry song, the classic, you know? And I realised I could do the, there's a rundown on that, a chromatic. And I realised I could do that. I just burst into tears. I couldn't believe I could do it.
Do you see what I'm doing here? So I'm doing the run by hammering on there, and then I'm using this finger to pluck the top strings.
And the other one I did was a really old dirty blues number called Hoochie Coochie Man.
Right.
I've been thinking about how I might do it. I plugged the guitar in, turned the amp full up, you know, so it is incredibly loud, and just banged it out. I just couldn't believe how good it is. To hear that dirty sound again that I could produce, you know.
That's working now. Yeah.
All of that was just such a wonderful learning experience when I kind of was beginning to see that I could make a go of it again.
And what is your new band called?
The band was named after me before anyway, so we thought we'd call it the Ian Campbell Single-Handed Blues Band. That seemed to fit quite well because that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it on one hand.
Yeah. It was really interesting to me at the start of our conversation where you're saying the time that you got into music was a time of healing as well. It's like a connection with the life force, you know, it's a thing that keeps you going.
God, just a bit, yeah. You know, one thing I was very concerned about and frightened of when I came out of hospital was that I would sink into depression. But all the bad things I had felt got so much better because of the therapy aspect of what I was doing, creating music again, just creating it, you know? It didn't really give me my identity back without being too cliched about it, I hope. It is like I found my soul.
Music is an important part of the life force. It's the rhythm that beats through our life. And in some cases, it's the thing that keeps us alive.
Speed.